Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Text us this morning on 51551, email today cb@rte.ie, or on Twitter we're at Today with Claire. But first up, the decision by some Catholic bishops to defy public health advice by allowing First Holy Communions and confirmations to take place in their diocese this month has caused a split within the church and has been criticised by the co-founders of the Association of Catholic Priests. I'm joined on the line now by Father Tony Flannery, co-founder of the Association of Catholic Priests, and by Father Brendan Kilcoyne, parish priest with St Mary's Church in Athenry, who supports the Catholic bishops who have defied public health advice. Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning.
I might go to you first, Tony. And let me just go through it here. To date now, we've had the Bishop of Elphin, Kevin Dorn, in the west. We've had Bishop of Waterford and Lismore, Fonzie Cullinan in the south. Bishop of Meath, Tom Deanan in the east. Bishop of the cross-border diocese of Clogher, Larry Duffy. And Bishop of Raphoe, which is, of course, up mainly in Donegal, Alan McGuckian. All of those have now advised their parishes that communions and confirmations can go ahead for mid-August. And that is, of course, despite government health advice. What's your take on that?
I'm quite amazed at it. I can't understand what's going on at all. I think it's an extraordinary thing for the bishops to be doing, considering this is only a matter of maybe 5-6 weeks before they would be given the go-ahead anyway. And I suppose one of the concerns I have is that when people in authority, like the bishops, openly go against the advice of the health authorities and of the government, it gives an opening and it gives a backing to other more extreme groups, say like the anti-vaxxers and people like that, and that's very unhelpful. So I'd be concerned about that aspect of it. I suppose the other thing I'm concerned about, Katie, I think the bishops actually here are missing a great opportunity. There's a big problem about the celebration of these two sacraments, First Communion and Confirmation, and they cannot continue being done within the context of the school. That's bound to end shortly. And I would love if the bishops use this occasion, because there has been a break in the sequence, use this occasion to relocate the preparation of the sacraments to the parish. And in that way, it would be only those who really, for whom it really means something, would go on and have the celebration.
So you're saying, are you saying, Tony, take it out of schools entirely?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Like we all know, Katie, and I think any priest will tell you this, that the children going for First Communion, say, are about 8 years of age. The large majority of their parents are not churchgoers and are not committed to the faith. You'd know that by attending Mass any Sunday. So the religious aspect of the ceremony doesn't mean much to a fair few of them. It's all about the what happens afterwards, all about the celebrations. Indeed, a good bit of it, if we're to be honest, is about all the money that the young person will get, the child who's had the First Communion. So there's a whole commercial side to it that has gone really over the top and is, I think, trivialising and even cheapening the meaning of the sacrament.
Okay,
I'd have thought that the bishops have missed the opportunity to use this to change the way the whole thing is done.
Can I bring Father Brendan in on that? Brendan, isn't that a good point, that this could be a turning point here? It could be a moment for the church to reclaim what is the essential element of these sacraments.
I think that's an excellent point that Tony has made. I'm largely in agreement with him on it. But at the end of the day, we'll still be left with the difficulty that the believers will still want the sacraments. And it's very hard for the church not to feel left out and unconsidered in all of this. Not so much that we feel that people are necessarily against us or anything in authority, so much as that we just don't feel that we're being taken into account at all. And we, I mean, looked at from a neutral point of view, associations like the church do contribute to a democratic society. The more citizens associate together privately, the better, doing different things. And I think Tony's dead right. There's a huge amount in the cupboard there that the church needs to deal with in terms of its own unaddressed business. But it still has to find its feet like everyone else. Like everyone else in this society, it has to find its feet in this crisis.
What about Tony's point there, though, that it's giving cover for more extreme elements, such as anti-vaxxers and others? And I see Andrew Madden, the abuse survivor. Many people know Andrew Madden, who survived clerical abuse. He says that the bishops with this are placing children at risk of reckless endangerment again.
No, I honestly don't think that that's the case. I think I can see where he's coming from. I don't think that that's the case. You have to understand, from the point of view of Catholic belief, the spiritual life is as necessary as everything else, and ultimately more necessary. So we see it as placing children in danger, that they're not being put in touch with the spiritual realities, and that the church isn't being allowed to function in its spiritual office in these circumstances. The whole thing as well, Tony makes another very good point there, and it's an important one to address, is that the bishops are perhaps giving very bad example politically and socially speaking in terms of responsibility. But I would make the point back to Tony that the state was founded on rebellion, and democracy always has a rebellious quality at its heart. And this makes life very difficult for democratic politicians, in that they're constantly, it's like trying to manage a team of thoroughbreds. You know, they're pulling against the traces. But in a country in which there isn't that pushing back at the government from individuals and from private associations, basically, you've reduced society to a sort of a battery hen quality, which I'm quite sure Tony wouldn't want.
Well,
there is a danger, but I think we have to run it.
Okay, Tony, Did I hear you laughing there?
I do. Well, I'm in agreement with, I'm afraid, Brendan and myself. You see, he's parish priest of Athenry, which is my country, so I'm not going to fight with an Athenry person. and I'm laughing because, I mean, I'm in no position to criticise people who are rebelling, considering the position I'm in relation to the church. But let me say this, Katie. There's nothing to stop if parents want their child to celebrate First Communion. There's nothing to stop them next Sunday or next Saturday evening or whenever they go to their weekend mass, bringing their child with them. Let them dress up. Let it be a big family occasion. Let the child receive communion there as part of the family. Absolutely nothing to stop that, and no regulations against it whatsoever.
The
big celebration.
But I think families or parents will be surprised that they can just march their child in and get their first communion. There's nothing in church rules to say.
Absolutely,
you have to be prepared before you do that.
As long as the preparation has been done, and presumably at this stage it has been done either in the school or by the parents, and if it hasn't, the parents themselves can do it. If they're committed to the faith, they can talk to their children about the meaning of the sacrament and what they're about to do. And then to have the child do it with the rest of the family, that would really bring out the significance and the religious meaning of the whole thing. That would be the best way of all of doing it. And it would avoid all the problems of the big celebration afterwards.
I'm just to let you know, Tony, we're getting a lot of support for you here on the text line, 51551. Totally agree with Tony, says one listener. As an ex-school principal, I saw this every year. The religious part of the day was only a prerequisite to the party. Most of the kids would never darken the door of the church again until their wedding. Another texter says, replace RE, religious education, with PE, physical education. then I have communions and confirmations need to be let go ahead, says another listener. Matches, dining and crowds everywhere. It's not fair. Dresses and outfits bought. Kids will be mixing in schools. What's the difference? It's so disappointing. Brendan, can I bring you back in there?
Sure.
That point that Tony made there, that, you know, if this spiritual aspect of this is so important to a family and to a child's life, just do it. Just go ahead. Bring your child to Mass and have them receive the sacrament.
I suppose there would be, you know, there would be a lot to be said for trying to underline it and trying to separate it again from the normal parish masses to make it special. But Tony is a very good point there. I'm not in disagreement with his key point there, is that a crisis can often be a way in which a whole country and the church and different organizations can rediscover their core values and their core purposes. And because you end up having to ask, it's so difficult to do what you want to do. You end up having to ask, well, why are we doing it? And I think definitely there is room here to start a serious discussion with parents as to whether they really do want this or not. But at the end of the day, a good few still will want it. And we have to look after them.
But, you say you're not in disagreement with Tony's key point. But, I mean, one of Tony's key points, also another element of it, is that the bishops, he cannot believe the bishops are doing this.
The only thing is, I'm very proud of the bishops in that case. And that I think they're not simply, they're behaving as a Catholic bishop should. Now, I'm not saying the others aren't, but I'm saying these are two, in the sense that they're expressing a real concern for what are the priorities of our faith. But I'd also be proud of them as Irishmen. I think they're engaging in a vigorous exchange and dialogue with the government, and it's about time. It's good. It's good to see it. Other organisations
but are they not pretending?
Doing the same.
But are they not pretending? Like the idea that, okay, we can have the communion, we can do it socially distanced, we have big venues for this, but you cannot separate that from what we know will happen afterwards, because it is inextricably linked with the party. You're blinkered if you're suggesting that one can be done without the other.
I completely accept that. I think, in fairness, a great deal of education has taken place in society in general in the last year, and I would have great confidence in the majority of parents. And some will break the bounds there, but that's happening in other areas of society as well. And all we can do is continue to educate in that regard and apply the law. I don't think it's a sufficient reason to keep restricting the church's life like this. I think we have to find a way of doing it.
What about this texter? As a practicing Catholic, I'm horrified that bishops and priests are prepared to break public health guidelines. Disgraceful. That's from Breda.
Well, I would point out that society is itself doing things that we find absolutely abhorrent, such as for instance abortion, and we have to live with that. I mean, you can't just get up on your high horse because the bishops try to insist that we find a way of living as a church even in the middle of this crisis. And that caller is going to have to live with us as we have to live with people who completely disagree with us on other things.
But these are public health guidelines, Brendan.
They're public health guidelines, but that's what they are. Their guidelines. It's not a matter of actual law.
Yeah, we have. I'm seeing more. We get a lot of reaction coming in on this, and a very mixed bag. High Holy Communion is a cultural rite of passage. Government is eroding our national and religious beliefs, says one caller. And then another one telling us this is all about the parents and the party, Katie. They have no interest in the church. I might give a last thought on this to you, Tony.
Oh, yeah. I do think that inevitably if the celebration goes ahead of the sacrament in various parishes, it will lead to a spread of the Delta variant. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I know a case of a sports team that won one round of a championship, went out and celebrated. A great number of them caught the variant and are not able to play the next round. Now, that sort of thing will inevitably happen. So actually, what the bishops are doing, apart from the fact that they are defying the authorities in the state and the health authorities, they are also inevitably contributing to a spread of the Delta variant. I think that's an amazing thing to do.
Right. OK, we'll leave that one there then. Father Tony Flannery and Father Brendan Kilcoyne, many thanks for joining us this morning. Coming up after this, the controversy over the Catherine Zappone appointment as government special envoy continues. We'll get the latest from Fionnán Sheehan after these.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.